Would you please turn to Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55. And I want to give you a moment to get over there because I want you to see this. Sometimes, you know, I just read a verse or quote from it or what have you, but other times I want you to look at it while we read it. Isaiah 55, verse 11. God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Well, you don't have to raise your hands or, you know, everybody in agreement say amen. I mean, nothing like that at all. Just in your mind, think about the answer or how you would answer this question. God has said, so my word, it's going to go forth. Once it goes forth, it won't return void. It will accomplish what I please. It'll prosper whereunto I sent it. What word? What word? What word? How many of you understand? Now listen closely to this and don't anybody cast stones at me, okay? How many of you understand that God did not write one word of the Bible? Come on now. He didn't write one word of it. Everything in Scripture has been recorded by somebody like Isaiah, Matthew, James, Habakkuk. You know, we'll get over there in a minute. God did not personally pick up his Bic pen and write one word here in the Bible. But what he did do is speak it, and it was recorded. Now, had he not spoken it, would it have been written? This right here, this book. No. Okay, well then how did he speak it? Two ways. Verbally, out loud, like I'm speaking to you right now, or on the inside, to the individual. Those two ways, that's how he spoke it. So we can think of it like this. God in heaven communicated with people on earth, and as he communicated with people on earth, what happened? They heard and they wrote things down. Now, he communicated out loud like this, or he communicated inwardly to the individual. So God can communicate two different ways when it comes to this manner of communication, if you will, to get things written down. So then, we have the result of this in our hands. We call it the Bible. And God says, my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it won't return void unto me. So the image God is trying to get across to us is, when he speaks, something happens. My word won't return void. Okay, well, hallelujah. That's wonderful. And, yeah, I can believe that because, you know, well, he's God and he can't lie. So therefore, if he says it, well, it's going to happen. Look over in, you're in Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Now in Isaiah chapter 7, just jump over to verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I guess we're kind of familiar with that prophecy, right? I mean, even if you don't remember chapter and verse, you remember the prophecy. That prophecy was a little over, it was delivered by God to Isaiah, who not only wrote it down or whatever, but he spoke it to whoever he spoke it to. But it was just a little over 730 years before Jesus came on the scene. Now, I want you to think about this. A little over 730 years before Jesus showed up, this word was given. So God spoke this. Isaiah heard it. He wrote it down. And he repeated it to whoever he repeated it. The Jews knew about this. And so for a little over 730 years, they're waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled. Well, we know when it was fulfilled, they didn't believe Jesus who he was, but it was fulfilled. That means that this prophecy was given about three times longer than this nation, the United States, is old. Roughly. Think about this. For 730 years plus, that prophecy is out there. I mean, it's in the atmosphere. It's there. And God says, my word won't return void. Well, I could imagine, I don't know, I mean, I'm kind of guessing here that maybe generation after generation, like, well, when's this going to happen? When are we going to see this? When's Messiah going to show up? People lived, people died. For hundreds of years, over seven centuries, before finally it happened. That's pretty incredible. Well, let's see another one here. Turn to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Now, here in Joel chapter 2, we're going to read a prophecy that, well, we're pretty familiar with. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. How many of us have heard that one before? You better believe it. Acts chapter 2. Now, according to my research, Joel was used by God to deliver, well, the whole book we have here of Joel, between 835 BC and 796 BC. That means this prophecy was given almost over 800 years before the book of Acts. And roughly 800 years before Jesus. In other words, this prophecy was given before a virgin shall conceive and so forth. So for 800 years, this prophecy's been out there, waiting to manifest. Now let's turn over to Acts. Let's see this prophecy. Now we all know it, and we could all, I'm sure, quote certain parts of this manifestation. But here in the book of Acts, you know what happens. Rushing mighty wind in the upper room, and cloven tongues like a fire. About 120 people get filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. And it says, Peter stands up and he begins to preach. Verse 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Are we living in these last days? This is verse 17 and 18. I don't mean that to be a trick question. I mean, Are we or not? Well, the answer is yes. We're living in these last days. Now, I'm not going to go really far with this one, but you do see that he says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your handmaidens shall prophesy. So much for women can't be in ministry. What's it say? They're going to prophesy. I mean, look, you can't do this unless God is using you. You got it? So, apparently, God's not as worked up about women in ministry as people are. But now let's think about this for a second. Let's think. In Acts chapter 2, this is that which was prophesied 800 years ago. Okay, well, if it was prophesied 800 years ago and it's coming to pass right now, then it's been hanging around for 800 years, waiting to manifest, which means the manifestation of this starts here and goes forward. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, how many books in the Bible, New Testament now, from what's the next book after Acts? Romans. Okay, so from Romans all the way to the end of the New Testament, how many of those books were written by women? Again, not a trick question. None. None. So then, God didn't use women to write books in the New Testament, but he did say that the daughters, the handmaidens, would prophesy. Correct? Okay, now, what is this prophesy thing? Very briefly, it's not simply a matter of, you know, yay, in the days to come and in the future and all that. Very briefly, to prophesy means to deliver the mind of Christ at a given point in time as moved upon by God generally through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the brief definition, explanation. So then, since he said that your daughters, your handmaidens, along with the sons, and, you know, they're going to prophesy, and the young men and old men, dreams and visions and all that, that means that God is going to move on people described here who are not a part of the group used by God to write the rest of the Bible. Are you following what I'm saying? So if that's true, then that means he is going to speak to those people in the same way that he spoke to people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, either verbally out loud or inwardly, one of the two. And it's going to be his word, right? Again, I'm not trying to confuse anybody. Look, it's either God's word or it's not. You can't prophesy if it's not the word of God. Oh, you can make it up. That goes on. But based on what we're seeing here, God is saying, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Well, relative to what he's saying here, to those who have accepted my son Jesus Christ and are open to being moved on by me and my Holy Spirit, I'm going to start using some of them, male or female, to prophesy, to declare my word. Well, will God ever contradict himself? No. That means all these people that we see prophesied by Joel, referenced by Peter, are going to be used of God to declare his word or prophesy, and whatever they speak is going to line up with Scripture. Oh, it won't necessarily be quotations of Scripture, but the message will line up with what's already been given in the Word of God. So, if indeed God says, my word that goes forth out of my mouth will not return void. It will accomplish what I send it forth to accomplish. Then we have to consider that not only is he speaking of what he spoke relative to this book we have in our hands, but it's whatever he gives to the sons, the daughters, the handmaidens, if it comes from him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means his word that goes forth is not going to return void. Now look over in Habakkuk. Go ahead and turn back there. It's a little book in the Old Testament. It's right after Nahum. Like that helps you any? And it's right before Zephaniah. Now here in Habakkuk, take a look here in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Well, that sounds confusing. Though it tarry, it will not tarry? Well, wait a second, what does that mean? Okay, real briefly. You have two English words, tarry, that come from two different Hebrew words. And to keep it simple, the one says, the first tarry is talking about, even though it hasn't manifested right now, and it's still out there waiting to manifest, it will not, second tarry, fail to manifest. It will not be late. It will manifest at the beginning of verse 3, appointed time. Follow what I'm saying here. Okay, so then that verse would not simply apply to the book that we have in our hands, including, you know, the book of Revelation, because all that stuff hasn't happened yet, hasn't, you know, completed and all. That has to mean then that the words given, the prophetic words spoken by the sons, the daughters, the handmaidens, and so forth, they're going to come to pass. They're going to happen. That being true, how many Christians take prophetic words, genuine prophetic words, and consider them to be as powerful as the book they hold in their hands? Now, I'm not saying that when somebody prophesies, new scripture is being created. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But if it comes from the same source, follow me? Okay, let's say I write you a letter, and I tell you that in my letter I write, okay, Friday at 7 o'clock, I'm going to show up at your house for hamburgers. And I show up at your house for hamburgers on Friday night, 7 o'clock. But then I tell somebody to go tell you on the next Friday night, I'm going to show up at your house for pizza. So I've told you, I mean, first off, I sent you a letter. I put it in writing. And yea, I shall be at thine house for hamburgers on Friday night. And you think, oh, look. He's coming. Okay, we better get some hamburgers, and not the cheap stuff, good hamburgers. We'll go to Burger King, glory to God. But then, the next week, I tell our good buddy Guido. I tell Guido, you know, go tell them that I'm going to be at their house Friday night for pizza. And so Guido comes to you and he says, yeah. He shall be at thy house Friday night for pizza. Will you prepare for pizza and me on Friday night? Will you? Well, if you know Guido and you trust him, yeah. And the reason is because you value the word I gave to Guido to give to you as highly as the letter that I wrote to you. You understand what I mean by that? Sure you do. Okay, then we have prophecies that come through a person in a church service. So do we value them the way we should? No, we don't. I mean, generally, we don't. Now, God has said here that my word won't return void. Well, that means that the prophetic word given 2 months ago in one of our services, that word has as much life in it as the scripture we hold right here called the Bible. You say, well, how do you figure that? Well, remember, God did not personally write these pages. He spoke to somebody and somebody wrote them down. And they became our Bible. But yet, he says, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy in the last days. And since none of the daughters wrote any of the New Testament, that means it goes beyond what we have here in this book. Are you following this logic? So from God's perspective, what he says to the sons and the daughters and the handmaids and the old men and the young men and the visions and dreams, from his perspective, you need to take that just as seriously as you take what I put in your hands, because it comes from the same source. You know, Brother Jim wrote you a letter and said he'd be there Friday night for hamburgers. Well, the next week, he told somebody to go tell you. That's the same kind of principle here. Same thing. So, these words are going to come to pass. Now, what's happened? I am, as of this particular message, I'm going back and I am reviewing every single prophecy I can find that's come through in this church, whether the Lord gave it through me or somebody else. And I'm reviewing them. I'm listening to them if I still can find the verbal recording, the audio recording. And I'm going through them again as I listen to make sure they are properly edited. And as I'm going through these, I'm thinking, you know, we have really been slack on the Word of God. Not so much maybe the Bible, but the Bible is not the only Word of God. I'll prophesy through, okay, if God prophesies through the sons and the daughters and the handmaidens, is that not the Word of God? Yeah, it is. So if he says, I'm going to do it, should we not take it seriously? We should. Now, ultimately, the goal in this, and I'm giving myself plenty of time, hopefully by the end of the year, we will be able to offer at least the written form of every single prophecy. Some of the prophecies have been given, and the recording was lousy, but, I mean, all the ones that we have, you know, okay, the ones that can be heard and whatever, they will be made available. Now, I'm not going to, okay, boy, how do I say this? not every prophecy is a prophecy for the body of Christ. Some prophecies are for the individual. The individual thinks they're for the body of Christ, but they're not for the body of Christ. They're for the individual, but the individual misunderstood, and so the individual delivers that prophecy as though it's for the entire body of Christ, but it's not for the entire body of Christ. Okay. Those will not be included. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you just a very few of the prophecies that have come forth here. Because he said, God said, my word, it will not return void. It will accomplish. That means his words carrying his life are still active. They're not going to fail. So, let me give you a prophecy. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that is a prophetic word. Because it's a whosoever shall call shall be saved. So therefore, that word comes from a verse in Scripture, but it's still alive today. And it's just as powerful now as it's ever been. So therefore, anyone who acts on that word, guess what happens to them? They get saved. Very simple. The same thing is true with many different prophetic words that come forth. God makes a declaration. And sometimes these declarations are about, well, you remember the prophecy one time that came forth about the natural disaster, and then, you know, the next year the typhoon, and anyway. Okay, I'm not talking about those kind of prophecies. I'm talking about the prophecies that are kind of similar to whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, that one's still alive today. Whenever he gives a prophecy along those lines, meaning here is the word, and whosoever does then receives the benefit of that word because it won't return void. Okay, that in mind, I want to read these to you. Now, this one is from February 23rd, 2003. There are many of you that have struggled in many areas of your lives. You need to understand that what you have interpreted as a spiritual problem is really just a soul problem. For you see, this is how the devil works. His first level of attack will be in the area of your soul. He will do all he can to get you to think that you have a problem, that you are addicted, that you cannot change, that this won't leave, that that won't stop, because if he cannot get you to first believe that in your soulish realm, he can never get you to open the door to your spirit for these things to sink roots. For this is how traditions and doctrines of man originate, and this is how deception takes place in the body of Christ, and how many are led astray. If he can get you to believe that there is a spiritual problem with you, then you will be looking to me for a spiritual solution. But you must understand that the spiritual solution has already been deposited on the inside of you. For have I not said in my word, whom the Son sets free is free indeed? The moment you accepted my Son as your Lord and Savior is the moment that you have been declared free. And so the devil must work on you in the area of your soul. I would have you know tonight that many of the problems that those in my church experience are problems of the soul, not problems of the spirit. But you have been deceived into believing that they are problems of the spirit. But I say to you this night, you need to get alone with me and talk about those things that you perceive are as problems, and let me begin to show you the roots of these things, and let me begin to show you where these things have anchored you down. Many of you will be surprised when you find out that what you thought was the root and what you thought was the anchor is really something else, and it's really somewhere else. But if you will give me the chance, I will begin to open your eyes and show you these things, and I will reveal to you how you've been deceived. Now, do not take this as condemnation, for it is not. For you see, this problem has existed for centuries, and you're not the first. But I do want you to know that I will show you the way to walk in the freedom that my Son died to give you. Come to me, and I will expose the deceived areas of your life, and I will show you how to walk in your freedom. Now, that goes back to 2003. I would venture to guess there are some people here, people who attend this church, they're still dealing with the same issues because they never acted on what he said. Never. I'm pretty confident to say that there are some people still dealing with things. Now, some of you, you've heard this for the first time. Guess what? It is as alive tonight as it was on February 23rd, 2003. It still works. It's not going to fail. It will not return void. And so therefore, if this is the first time you've heard this, that means you just got an answer. Praise God. You just got some help. And for some people, that word was a major load lifter. In other words, you're not as messed up as you thought. And he's telling you, hey, we can put this to rest permanently. You just come to me. I'll work with you on this. Like that 15 years ago. 15 years ago. I have another one here. This one is from January 9th, 2005. You know, over the years, we've had several services where there were a number of prophecies given. In fact, this one from January 9th, 2005, what I'm getting ready to read to you, it was the fifth prophecy that the Lord moved to give in that service. He didn't give them all through different people. I think these were all given through me. Nevertheless, here's what he said. You have seen the destructive forces of nature. You have seen what it can do. You can see how it can bring about havoc, how it can destroy. You've seen what happens when the earth gives way to pressure. I would like to remind you of what you have seen in recent days. You saw the earth shake. You saw it move. You saw it break, and you saw the results. The results were massive waves of water that swept over the land and brought about great destruction and great death and great devastation. Now hear what I would say to you. The thing which you have seen in the natural did not happen overnight. For you see, it took hundreds of years of pressure before the earth finally gave way to that pressure. The result were the massive waves of water that brought about the destruction. Now hear me and pay attention to that which you have seen. As you continue to pray in the Spirit, you are putting ever-increasing pressure upon your flesh. That pressure is mounting, and it is mounting, and it is mounting. The day is coming when your flesh is going to break apart. When it does, it is going to release waves of my glory that will begin to wash over the things of wickedness and the things of sin. It will bring destruction to the camp of the enemy. It will tear down strongholds. It will be waves of my glory which will sweep throughout this land. It will sweep throughout your church and throughout your community and your families. It will be waves and waves and waves of my glory that will be released from deep within the realms of your spirit because you continued to apply pressure to the flesh until the flesh no longer could stand up to the pressure of my glory and my anointing, and my glory will be released through you. It will come to pass, says the Lord, if you will stay in my presence, if you will continue to pray, if you will give yourself over to me, for the flesh cannot stand up to the pressure of my spirit. Praise God. So how many of us did this? I'll be the first to admit I didn't follow up on it the way I should have. Really quiet in here. Okay, this is still true. This will still work. It was real back in 2005. It's real today. It's going to be real next week. It works. He said, look, if you'll do this, here's what's going to happen. Your flesh is going to give way. Your flesh will give way. And God's glory from within, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God's glory from within is going to start to come through. I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. Some of these, as I was going back and reading them, it's like, man, this is some good stuff. Well, of course it is. It came from the Lord. What else would it be? But I had forgotten I had let these things slip to my detriment. Now listen to this one. This one is from January 16th, 2005. I have said unto you that to whom much is given, much is required. That's always been true. The much that has been given to you, you're required to live it and to share it. You're going to have opportunities to serve me in ways that you have not imagined. I am seeking for you to help me. I cannot do this by myself. I need you. I need you to help me. Now, that right there, some people would say, well, God can do anything. Really? Then why did he have to have his son Jesus come to earth in a flesh body? You follow this? We are His kingdom people in the earth today. Well, I'll continue. He said, you do not fully understand everything that you have been given. You do not fully understand everything that's been shared with you. You appreciate it. You're grateful. But you don't understand the fullness of it. You see, the things that I shared with you, things you have received over the years here, are things that I would want the entire body to know. But until I can find people who will share it, then others will not hear it. For the only reason you know what you know is because someone shared it with you. They received it from me and then shared it with you. Yes, it's true, you could have received these things on your own. However, you hadn't been told how. There are many that need to know these things that you know. In the days to come, I'm going to be giving you opportunities to do this. Your faith is going to be tested. I'm going to be calling upon you to do more than you ever have. I am going to be calling upon you to get involved more than you ever have. I'm going to be calling upon you to step out more than you ever have. Now, if you will do this, you're going to touch the lives of millions. You see, I look for churches that will grow in me to the point that I can begin to pour through them. I want you to know that, yes, there are a lot of very good churches throughout this land. However, there are not that many churches through which I can truly pour myself out. I keep finding limitations. I keep finding that they will go so far and stop. But if you won't stop, I will use you to touch the lives of millions. Hear me. I will use you to touch the lives of millions. I'll do a work through you that will far exceed the things churches many times your size have been able to do. That's because they have stopped me. But if you don't, I can multiply the effect of what you're doing, and you will touch the lives of millions. Now see, when he starts talking about you'll touch the lives of millions, we think, come on. I mean, you know, God, have you looked down here lately? How are we going to touch the lives of millions? How many thousands have we touched already? Think about how many thousands have we touched already? You know, I'm working with a man now. I think he's in Pakistan. And I can't send him a thumb drive. I think it's Pakistan, but whatever country he lives in, if I send him a thumb drive, they will inspect it before they pass it on to him, the postal or government or whatever. And if they see things on there about Jesus, then they'll destroy it and he won't get it. So I'm sending to him by email all of my monthly letters. And what he's wanting to do is make copies and distribute them all over where he lives. How many thousands of people have we touched already? God says we have the potential to touch millions. And that sounds like such a pipe dream. But the numbers are adding up very quickly. Here's the thing. He never said you'd know who they are. He just said you'll do it. He said, if you keep doing what you're doing, here's what's going to happen. Well, let me continue this one. He said, so hear me now. You have come to this point. Don't stop. Keep going. You are getting closer and closer to something that is absolutely magnificent. You have had casualties along the way. Now, the casualties he's talking about are not people who have died, but people who have gone off another direction. You have had casualties along the way, but I knew this ahead of time. As I have shared before, do not be surprised if you see more casualties. But for those of you who will remain strong, there is something tremendous awaiting you. So I would ask you, do you want to be used of me? Do you truly want to be used of me? Do you really want to touch the lives of millions? Do you want to walk in a new level of faith? Do you want to walk in a new dimension of my glory? It is very possible. Keep walking into me, and you will see this thing happen. The time is short. I must move quickly, and I will move through you. I mean, that's a word for this whole congregation. Now, he gave this word back in 2005, but just because somebody wasn't here in 2005 does not mean it doesn't apply to them. Because the moment somebody walks into this place and says, you know what? This is my home church. God sent me here. Okay, now you're a part of this word. This works. This is for you. Every single one of you. And so he's saying, look, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. And I don't know how he's going to have me minister along the lines of this whole thing of, you know, commitment and selling out to the Lord and so forth. He may have me do that before the end of the year. I'm not sure. However, you know, there was a song we sang years ago. I forget the title of it. But there's a phrase in it, I think, in the chorus, and it says, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." And basically, it's talking about all the stuff that you go through here on earth to live for the Lord. Well, he's helping me understand more and more that we don't really understand how worth it really is. And how insignificant so much of this stuff is here in this world where we place so much importance. And, you know, the more he shows me, you know, I'm sensing conviction. I mean, not about sin, but about, you know, Jim, you need to be thinking more about some of this stuff. It's like, well, okay, I need that. I need it as a Christian, not simply because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. Look, if I want to go deeper in him and I want these things, then I need to listen up. I need to hear what he has to say and make it whatever adjustments need to be made. And the thing is, his grace will be there to help me do it. It's not like he's going to make me rely on the efforts of my flesh. No, no. He says, here's what you need to change, and I'll help you. It's like, oh, whew, thank you. Now, I want to read another one to you. This one is from February 8th, 2006. And I'm going to read this because at the beginning of it, I shared with you a brief vision that I had. And then he gave the word. And so I'll read to you the part that I said concerning that vision. I'm seeing a big tower, one of those big, big cooling towers that they have at those nuclear power plants. The Lord says, I want you to capture the vision of that kind of cooling tower. I want you to capture the vision of a big, huge cooling tower at a nuclear power plant. Envision the steam that comes up from that power plant. Now think about what that represents. Think about what that tower represents, for some people refer to it as a cooling tower, others refer to it as a containment tower. And many of you know what happens if the water level in that containment place goes too low. The core will begin to overheat, and when the core overheats, it begins approaching even the very temperature of the sun itself. As it does, if it is not checked, what happens is what you call a meltdown. The core becomes superheated to the point that it begins to melt everything around it, and it begins to release massive amounts of radiation. It begins to burn its way into the earth, and it creates great disaster. Now think of that and hear what I have to say to you this night. There are many of you who are containment towers of my glory. The flesh has been containing the glory that I have been depositing into you. You have been seeking me. You have been praying. You have been in my presence, and more and more and more of my glory has been released into you in ever-increasing measure, in ever-increasing fashion. More and more and more of my glory has been released into you and released into you. And in the process, the flesh is beginning to go down. The flesh is beginning to recede just like the waters that are receding in a cooling tower before a meltdown. Your flesh is beginning to recede, and you're about to have a glory meltdown in your life. Here's what will happen. The flesh is going to recede to the point where it can no longer contain the glory that has been deposited on the inside of you. And that glory is going to begin to burn with a fire of holiness and a fire of power. And my glory is going to be released out of you, and it's going to begin to spread, and it's going to begin to burn through you. When it comes in contact with things of this world, it will vaporize those things. When it comes in contact with the works of the enemy, it will completely burn those works. Burn them, I say, burn them like chaff in a fire. You are coming close to a glory meltdown in your life, to where the flesh is going to be completely dissolved and my glory is going to be released. You're going to see revival begin to take place in your midst. It will happen before your very eyes. I say to you this night, continue to do those things that you know to do. Continue to do them because, you see, as you give yourself to prayer, to fasting, to worship, to my word, then what happens is more and more of my glory is being released into you. More and more of my glory is being deposited into you. You're becoming a storehouse of my glory, and the flesh is receding. I see it in the spirit. The flesh is receding. Those things which hinder my glory from flowing, it is receding and receding and receding. So I say to you this night, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Continue to do these things. Continue to see your flesh begin to recede, and you are going to begin to see my glory. Even now in the realm of the Spirit, it is though the steam is rising up from you, like the steam rises from the top of those containment towers. It is the steam of my presence. It is kind of like a Shekinah cloud of my glory that has been being released out of you. But I tell you now, that cloud will give way to the brilliance of my glory in the realm of the Spirit if you continue to do what you know to do. So you be encouraged this night. Be encouraged this night to know that you are receiving a deposit of glory every time you spend time with me. The more time you have spent with me, the more of my glory has been deposited and progress is being made. I tell you this night that the day is coming. If you will continue to do this, the day is coming when there is going to be a meltdown and my glory is going to be released in a way that this region has never seen. It will happen because it is my will. Praise God. So here God is saying, here's what's happening. Now, if you do what you know you're supposed to do, then here's going to be the result. Every one of these that I've read tonight, and two of them had to do with his glory. The truth of the matter is, I didn't make that connection until I was up here. But these words are still alive. These prophecies still have as much life in them as the day that God gave them. They are still the cause and effect principle is still there. And God is saying, hey, the glory, it's there. If you do this, here's what's going to happen in every single one of these. He's saying, you as a congregation, if you continue to press into me, you're going to touch the lives of millions. You know, we're reaching into nations that probably would not let me in. We're ministering to people who probably would not readily receive me because I'm not a part of their culture. But we, as a congregation, are touching these lives. This is happening. If there was a way for us to see into the future, to what's going to happen when we stand before God, the whole concept of well done, thou good and faithful servant, if he were to say, you know, I'm going to show you now all the people who are going to be up here with me, that you touched their lives, and you don't know who they are. You remember that song by Ray Bolts, Thank You? How that this guy goes to heaven, and all of a sudden these people come up to him and say, well, thank you for giving to the Lord because, you know, what you did, it touched my life, and I got saved and all this. That's what's happening now, right now. I get reports from pastors how that they're changing what they teach because they now understand truth in a way they never understood it. Well, see, yeah, I may be the guy that's standing up behind the pulpit, but guys, this is a group effort, and God said so. In this word, he said so. It's not just me. It's us as a congregation. And so in all these words, you know, he gives encouragement about here's how you can put to rest some issues in your life. Here's how you can deal with it. Here's how you can, you know, let me work through you to reach people. Here's how you can experience my glory. He's telling us it works. Just like those people in Bible times waited 700 plus years for the virgin to conceive. Over 800 years for, you know, your spirit poured out, sons and daughters and all. You know what? We don't have 800 years. Of course, we wouldn't be around if we did. But this is real. This is real. And, man, praise God. I want to encourage you. These prophetic words, they carry the life of God. Figuratively speaking, they will be bound, but they'll be like maybe on a thumb drive or something like that. But they'll be available. Available to read, you know, and meditate on and so forth. And I'm not saying that you stop reading your Bible to read prophecies. But what I'm saying is these prophecies came from the heart of God, came from His mind, just like this scripture, the Holy Scriptures. Praise God. So be encouraged with this, to keep these things in mind and know that these prophecies live. Just because, you know, well, yeah, but that was 10 years ago and, boy, I missed out on that one. Well, no, wait, if He said you pray and this happens, then guess what? You pray, it's going to happen. You know, you may have waited 10 years, but you will get the results because His word won't return void. Praise God. Hallelujah.